91X News.
It's minus 7 and cloudy at 4 o'clock. From the QNET Newsroom, good afternoon. I'm Haley Rose. For many in the Quinte region, March break will be spent in a snowsuit rather than flip-flops. Snow is expected to start late this afternoon. Tonight will be cloudy with periods of snow beginning early this evening with about 2 centimeters and a low of minus 15. Tomorrow we'll likely see snow and local blowing snow about 5 to 10 centimeters, minus 26 in the morning. And tomorrow night, more snow, amount 5 centimeters with a low of minus 13. And a 29-year-old man is facing a number of charges, including first-degree murder, after a weekend fire in Sudbury. Local police say the blaze broke out in a shed on a residential property early Saturday morning. They say a man believed to be 59-year-old Kenneth Edwards died in the fire, though they did not release further details. Police began investigating the fire as a homicide and made the arrest late Sunday night. The name of the accused has not been released. Police say he is facing 5 charges that include first-degree murder, arson, and indignity to a dead body. And President Donald Trump has scheduled another campaign rally, this time in Louisville, Kentucky. Trump's campaign website says the president will speak the night of March 20th at the Kentucky Exposition Center. Vice President Mike Pence visited Louisville on Saturday as part of the effort to sell a White House-backed health overhaul. Trump is scheduled to hold a rally in Nashville, Tennessee this Wednesday, his second since taking office. Press Secretary Sean Spicer says the president is also planning to lay a wreath at President Andrew Jackson's tomb at his home, the Hermitage, during his visit to Nashville. Jackson's 250th birthday is being commemorated this year. Earlier on Wednesday, Trump is scheduled to visit Detroit to discuss job creation in the automotive industry with auto executives and workers. And Turkey's foreign ministry is formally protesting the treatment of the Turkish minister who was escorted out of the Netherlands after trying to attend a weekend referendum rally. Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte says he refuses to allow Turkish ministers to campaign in the Netherlands ahead of Turkey's referendum on constitutional reforms.
We have come to the decision that we don't want them to campaign here. We will not ban Turkish ministers to travel here. But when they do, there is a risk that on grounds of public safety and public order, it will be difficult to find spots to hold their meetings.
The upcoming referendum in Turkey seeks to significantly expand the powers of the Turkish president. And a prosecutor in Poland says evidence shows without a doubt that a Minnesota man was a Nazi unit commander suspected of contributing to the death of dozens of Poles. Rita Foley reports on what the man's family is saying and what Polish authorities are saying.
Michael Karkot's son says his father wasn't in Poland and wasn't responsible for any war crimes. He says his father is 98 years old and unable to defend himself. However, a prosecutor in Poland says there is no doubt that Michael Karkot was a Nazi unit commander, now suspected in the killings of 44 Polish citizens.
Karkot was put under investigation after the Associated Press published evidence in the 2013 establishing he commanded a Nazi SS-led unit accused of burning villages filled with women and children. A high-profile senator appointed by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is joining a growing group of senators calling on Don Meredith to resign from the upper chamber over his sexual relationship with a 16-year-old. Canadian Press reporter Terry Pedwell says Andre Pratt has written that Meredith's conduct as a senator and a man was very inconsolable.
In a letter sent Sunday to Don Meredith and copied to every senator, Andre Pratt writes that people will forgive Meredith if he admits to his mistakes, but that still won't render him fit to serve in the Senate. He's urging Meredith to resign so the Senate's reputation doesn't suffer more than it already has.
The details of the relationship and Meredith's conduct were outlined in a damning report last week from the Senate ethics officer, who ruled that Meredith used his position as a senator inappropriately and that he violated the Senate's ethic code. A new report suggests that building more homes won't help lower the price of houses in Toronto. The Ryerson University report, called In High Demand, suggests that too many people are looking to buy property as an investment and not using it as a residence. Sherry Sperda, executive director at the Ryerson City Building Institute, says that even if more houses are built in Toronto, it doesn't mean that more of them will become available.
It's similar to when we tackle congestion by building another lane of a road. Mm-hmm. As soon as you build another lane, it fills up with cars, right? So you have to deal with demand as well as that supply. We can't build our way to affordability.
The report suggests implementing a foreign buyer tax as well as a progressive STIRAX on expensive homes owned by people who aren't paying income tax. That's QNET News on 91X. Sports is next.
It's cold outside, and the best thing you can do is curl up in a blanket, drink some hot cocoa, and play a game. Whether it's with friends, family, or solo, Stephen License has them all.
For friends and family, they've got special editions of Risk, Monopoly, Yahtzee, Scrabble, and of course, Bingo.
Looking for an activity you can do on your own or with a friend? Try Paint by Numbers, darts, model kits and supplies, and much more. Perfect for that cold winter's day.
Check out all the games and hobbies at Stephen License, 288 Front Street, downtown Belleville.
And in sports, the Toronto Blue Jays second baseman Devon Tavis ran sprints in the outfield Monday, still unsure of his status for opening day. Travis had been slowed by a bone bruise on his right knee, which had off-season surgery to remove a small flap of cartilage. He's got to get moving quick to do that because he needs some work, Toronto manager John Gibbons said. He's cutting it close. Travis is taking batting practice and could get some at-bats as a designated hitter in minor league games this week. It's kind of a hit or miss, Gibbons said. Some days he feels better than others, but he's moving in the right direction. Travis had issues with the knee during last year's postseason. He hit .300 with 11 homers and 50 RBIs in 101 regular season games. And Newfoundland and Labrador's Brad Gushue wins his first Tim Hortons Brier title.
Brad Gushue delivered a draw to the top of the 8 foot to give his team a 7-6 win over Canada's Kevin Cooey. It's his first Brier victory in 14 trips to the National Men's Curling Championship. Gushue had lost to Cooey in last year's final. Earlier in the day, Manitoba's Mike McEwen beat Northern Ontario's Brad Jacobs for the bronze medal. Gushue becomes the first Newfoundland skip to hoist the Brier tankard since Jack McDuff in 1976. Gushue will represent Canada at the World Championship next month in Edmonton. Greg Strong, The Canadian Press, St. John's.
The Canadian men's rugby sevens team wound up seventh at its home tournament after losing to South Africa and Argentina. Canada picked up two wins on Saturday before injuries started to take their toll. Head coach Damian McGrath says he hopes fans understand the team is headed in the right direction.
When we were fit and healthy on day one, I hope we gave a glimpse of what this group is capable of, and I hope that they take that with them rather than the battered and bruised and bloodied group that limped off at the end. But, you know, we appreciated every minute of support they gave us, and I hope they appreciated what we did.
England beat South Africa 19-7 in the sevens final. And in local hockey, the Trenton Golden Hawks are coming home with a win after their road trip to Newmarket. The Golden Hawks fought hard yesterday and brought home a 2-1 win. The Wellington Dukes play their final playoff game tomorrow night against the Whitby Fury. The Dukes currently sit in fifth place of the Northeastern Conference of the OJHL. Puck drop is at 8 o'clock in Whitby. And the Napanee Raiders and Port Hope Panthers are finishing their playoff series with their second last game tomorrow night. The teams face off at 7:30 in Napanee. Send us your team or league scores. Email qnetnewsdesk@gmail.com. The forecast for Belleville, at 4:10, it's -7 and cloudy. QNET News on the air on 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Haley Rose. QNET News next at 5 o'clock.